You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Hey, a great guest today, Jennifer Love Hewitt. Here's the deal. She's never done a podcast. She's never opened up like she opened up on the show. And I was really surprised. And I've known her for a while, but she talks about everything so openly. She was so nervous, Rob, that she didn't want to do the show. She didn't want to do the podcast. She, for months, she kept saying, I can't. I don't know. People don't want to listen to me. People don't want to. I'm like, yeah, they do.
Yeah. She said she woke up, at 2:30 in the morning the night before.
Yeah. I don't remember the exact time, but she woke up.
It was 2:30. I remember.
Okay. I'm glad you remember that. But she woke up and she had a panic attack, which we'll talk about. And she was like, you know, I had a panic attack that you were going to talk about my mother who, she passed away in 2012, and I remember we were supposed to work together, and that project didn't work out, and we became friends, and then I remember that her mother passed, and it was horrific, and she tells the whole story, and I love this episode. This is probably my favorite episode to date. It's because it was so raw and real and teary, and I remember her texts afterward, Rob. You remember that? I told you.
Yeah.
I was really touched by it because, you know, when you do these interviews, you're just hoping that
it means as much to them as it.
Yeah.
You
hope,
to you?
Yeah. Well, you hope that they didn't. They're like, oh my God, I shouldn't have said this or I didn't do this. And she wasn't like that. She was just so sweet. Like, you're in my heart forever. I'm here for you 24/7. What you gave me today is the deepest and purest gift I have received in a long time. I feel changed by our conversation in such a real way. Thank you. And again, I was practically in tears. I just found that to be so moving that I felt like we helped each other. And you even opened up, Rob. Do you remember?
A little bit.
You did open up. We're going to hear it today. Let's get inside Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You. Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience. Yeah, don't you like to listen to yourself?
I can't believe you just invited me to do this. No, I don't.
You can't what?
I don't like to listen to myself.
You don't? Do you not? You have a really nice,
no.
What's the word, Rob?
Voice?
Oh,
no, that's
yeah,
not the word I
tone?
Was thinking of. Voice, but there's a tonality.
Cadence. A cadence.
Maybe a cadence. Maybe a cadence.
I don't even know
my
how to use
shoulder
cadence,
is
probably.
Killing me.
You poor thing. You have a broken heart and a broken shoulder.
Why'd you bring the broken heart up?
Sorry.
I don't have a broken heart, though. I'm not upset about it at all. I'm just upset how it went down. Thank you, Jennifer Love Hewitt, for allowing me to be inside of you, although I think you tried to get inside of me just now.
You know what? I did.
Why'd you do that? I told you some confidential information. Within 5 minutes, you already tell everyone.
I was checking in on your well-being.
I appreciate it. Appreciate it.
You have a
it.
Weird shoulder thing going.
Yeah, well, I slept on it wrong. I'm not kidding. And so it's up. It's high up. It's like I'm almost like going, hey, what's up with my shoulder?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really uncomfortable.
Like one side of you is at a dance club and the other's not.
You called me out on it.
Yeah.
Rob, do you know Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Yep.
Have you heard of this woman? Are you attracted to her? Rob's married. He's 28 years old as a kid. He's
29.
And he's apparently not attracted to me because he couldn't answer the questions.
No, he's shy and doesn't want Natalie to listen and go, oh my God, you're attracted to her? What the f***? Right?
Yeah. Like, do you curse on your podcast?
Yeah, you saw that I said and I didn't say. You can say, I try. Here's the thing. I think swearing.
Yeah.
I swear. I swear.
You swear?
I swear.
Do you swear?
JL? What do they call you?
Do you swears?
Jennifer Love? J Love?
Whatever you want to call me.
You know, I do swear. But then I listen back, if I ever listen to the podcast, and I go, oh, you know what? Why do you have to swear so much? Just don't swear. You don't have to be a swearer.
Yeah.
So I try not to say fucking shit as much as you know, I can. Are you a swearer?
I feel like when I'm away from my children, I swear more because I can.
How old are they?
4 and going to be 3.
4 and 3. Have they said a bad word yet? Are they speaking?
Yes, my daughter has said the F word a couple of times.
How did it come out?
How did it come out exactly? I think she dropped something on the ground, like she dropped toys on the ground and she went, oh fuck, like that. So she used it in the right way.
How did you?
And I felt proud about that.
How did you
and
not laugh?
So proud that
how
she
did you
said,
not laugh?
I did laugh. I ran into the other room and actually laughed. And then I came back out and was like, what did you say, babe? And then she didn't say it again. And so we never talked about
where
it.
Where did she learn that?
I'm not sure.
Are you the F-bomber or is your husband the F-bomber?
I'm going to say that maybe we both drop it sometimes, like it's hot.
Mm-hmm. I think since I met you, by the way, where did we meet?
We met at, what's the restaurant? Pache.
Pache. Correct. Yeah. You're correct.
Yeah. We met that, for a director's meeting on a movie that you were going to direct and I was meeting you.
Right. And I, you agreed to do the movie and I flew to, Pennsylvania to, start prep. I was 2 weeks in and, half the money went away. As we know, in independent films, this happens and it broke my heart. And then I wasn't able to work with you.
Yeah. And you really, never hired me again after that. Which
well,
is
no, I did one movie, and I'm going to direct. Believe me, I want to hire you.
I'm still waiting.
I want to work with you. If you're waiting, then I'm writing.
Great.
I'm writing right now.
Well, then you're talking
it
to me and not writing.
It was such a fun movie. I mean, it would have been me, you, John Heder, Nick Swartz, and Colin Hanks, Seth Green. Just a bunch of fun people, and it was a road trip kind of comedy, and it broke my heart. I tell you, I was really depressed about that. But
me too.
Yeah. But then your life just completely changed after you met me. That I have a propensity when I go hang out with someone or I meet someone, they get lucky and their life just changes for the good.
What is that called? Like the Good Luck Chuck?
Good Luck Chuck. Is that what it is?
There was a movie with Jessica Alba.
How'd it do?
I think it did pretty good.
Yeah, did it? Did you see it?
I did, yeah.
Rob, did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Did you like it?
Sure.
Rob's a man of many words.
He is, yeah.
You know, so yes, it seems like after that, you know what? We'll get into that. We'll get into what you know, because obviously you have a family. I feel like you've always wanted a family.
I have.
You're someone who's always wanted children, wanted to just be in love and be happy. It's easier said than done.
Oh, truly.
And sometimes you're just like, you know, I think I force the issue as I get older. I want to be in love so bad that I let flaws, major red flags go by that normally if I was 30 years old, I'd say fuck off.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, oh, that's fine.
Do you want to be a dad?
I think
you'd be a great dad.
Look, everybody says that, but I do want to be a dad, but I got to get the shoulder fixed.
you couldn't even hold your baby right now.
I can't even hold the baby right now.
And my shoulder was like that for 2 years after breastfeeding my kids.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Were you breastfeeding someone last night?
No, I wasn't breastfeeding. I was just sleeping.
Okay.
It was a real, you know, what were
it was
you doing?
Good sleep.
I'm going to go to the doctor. What happened to you? Well, I was sleeping.
I was sleeping.
And I'm getting older. I don't know. I just don't know do you ever get those days where you're not even 40 yet? So, you know, but I am. I'm 45. I'll be 46.
That's crazy.
What's crazy?
You look great.
Well, I'm tired.
Well, I mean, yeah.
You're like, don't talk to me about tired because you have kids and you have a husband.
Yeah, I'm exhausted, but... No, but I can't believe you're that old.
I almost just spit coffee all over my couch.
When did that happen?
I don't know, man.
You were so much younger when we met. Anyway.
Can we add music to that silence?
Rob, this is a nice room.
Can we do this in post? It is a nice room, isn't it? It was a garage.
Uh-huh.
You're pretty much in my garage.
Garage?
J-Love.
Garage and, or garage?
I'm from Indiana. We say garage.
Yeah.
What do you say?
I say garage.
Garage? What are
because
you, French?
I feel like it gives a little boo-boo to it.
Garage.
Garage. Yeah.
Rob?
Garage.
Rob's not even on a mic now. He's taking pictures. I can't
he
ask him questions.
He doesn't say anything.
Well, he's not supposed to.
Why not?
No, that's not true.
What hair gel do you use, Rob?
He calls this the Dick Van Dyke.
What do you put in there?
He's very hip. He's a hipster.
I know. Aveda.
I like it.
Wait, did you say tomato?
Yeah, tomato. Aveda.
Oh, Aveda. I thought you said tomato. You know, Rob started got me into this to do a podcast. And
Thank you, Rob.
I was like, you know, I said it was my idea. I'm going to say I said it was my idea to have Rob have a mic.
Okay.
And he said, okay. And at first, you know, the first few episodes, I didn't include Rob. I just didn't feel like it was necessary. Rob isn't an actor. I didn't think it. And then I realized he's actually genuine and real and funny. And so I started including him. And he's my favorite part of the show now.
That's so nice of you to be inclusive. How did you come up with the name inside
Michael
of
Rosenbaum?
You?
Oh.
Because it's amazing, by the way.
Do you like it?
I do.
You know, we just sat here for a long time. We're like, what's good? It's like, well, what am I doing? I'm getting inside of someone.
Yeah.
But also it's inside of me.
Yeah.
Like this I talk about this a lot, but it's therapy for me and the audience and you. This will become hopefully therapy for you. You were scared to come on the show.
I need therapy. I was scared to come on the show.
Why were you scared?
Well, I mean, I don't often get emails where, you know, someone says, come over to my house. I want to be inside of you.
Was that the exact email? That wasn't exactly what I said.
No, it wasn't.
But it could have been.
No, it wasn't. No, I just felt, I don't know. I don't know that I have a lot to say that's interesting to people, A. And B, I don't know. It's felt scary, but I'm here.
Have you done a podcast?
Never.
This is your first podcast.
This is the first podcast.
Rob, do you hear this?
Do I get a prize?
Even last night, I sent a picture and I was like, what picture should I send? But I posted
the
picture.
Pink hair.
That you put on, that you posted. So I figured you wouldn't yell at me for that because you had posted it.
Yeah.
And I mean, you're easygoing. You don't give a shit. But like the response was like tons of questions and people were so excited. People love you.
That's so nice. That's really nice.
I mean, look, we're going to get into this because I don't want to start at the end.
Okay.
I want to start at the
beginning. Wherever you want.
So Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
Let's go back to Waco.
In the garage.
In the garage. Were you a good kid?
I was.
You were?
I was, yeah. I mean, I was working from a very young age, so I had a lot of
responsibility. How did that start in Waco, Texas, though? How do you start working in Waco?
Well, I was a part of like a dance troupe at this place called Tina's, which was like a dance studio. And I was singing. Somebody heard that and invited me to perform at a livestock
show. What song was it?
Whitney Houston's Greatest Love of All. And they invited me to sing at a livestock show. So they essentially like cleaned out the pig barn. And then I stood in the middle in like a little outfit that my mom made for me and sang this song. And then I did a dance with like the dance troupe.
How many people were there?
I don't even know, but it seemed like thousands of people. It was probably like
nervous?
100 farmers. I have no idea. No, not at all. I felt like my life had started. Like I was so excited to just get out there and like perform for people. So there was a scout who was like, I don't know why he was there, but he was there and he chose me and the dancers from this troupe to go to Russia and represent the United States as a goodwill ambassador and perform at communist youth camps.
Go to Russia? You're in Waco. Someone discovers you in Waco, Texas?
It was really crazy. And so we went and they taught me like some Russian and they taught me sign language. And I like did all of this prep. I'm 8 years old. And
well, you must have been a really smart kid.
I mean, I was dumb. I've never felt smart.
At least my dad told me I was dumb.
Aww.
Yeah, but you know what? He was right. No, he wasn't. I'm witty.
You're very witty.
Witty is better.
I think witty is smart.
Well, witty's my psychologist, therapist told me that witty is a you know, if you're witty, it is a
sign of intelligence.
See, I couldn't even get the sentence. Obviously, it's not a sign of intelligence. But I'm not. I mean, I just always used my wit or my trying to be funny or charming to overcompensate for intelligence. But then he said,
"Me too." Well, except I'm not necessarily charming or witty, but I've used, but I try to, I disguise how, you know, not book smart I am.
So you go to Russia.
Yeah.
And you kick ass.
Yeah, it was great. It was amazing.
She was great. Look at her. She's so cute. 8 years old. She does sign language. Wait, I think she told me to fuck off. What the fuck was this?
It was really a wild experience. It was amazing. We had a great time. The most exciting thing for me there at that moment was a Baskin Robbins that I found like 7 days into the trip. And I was just so excited that there was a Baskin Robbins in Russia. That's like what I remember the most because I was 8. And we came home and there was like news footage about this little girl and these people who had gone to whatever. And an agent saw it and, you know, our manager saw it and said, why don't you come to LA?
At 8 years old.
Well, it actually took a while. So I arrived into LA on my 10th birthday. So it took a while for like everything to kind of
was your mom like the, you know, because you hear about these different moms who are
like
just
stage
like
moms.
Stage moms. Yeah. Was your mom a stage mom?
No, my mom was actually terrified of the whole concept of me coming to LA and doing this thing, but she knew that it was something I really want. Like I can,
you
honest,
wanted to
I
do
can
this.
Honestly say I was driving the
she
train.
Wasn't like, pushing.
No,
you were pushing.
She wasn't. She wasn't at all. I mean, she loved it once we got into it and everything
of
was
course.
Going. I mean, she, you know, loved it. But no, she didn't push me when I was a kid at all. It was really something that I wanted to do. And she, I mean, she had a life and she like gave it all up essentially for me to see if there could be something here.
Now, your parents broke up at a young age.
They did, yeah.
Early in your, like, yeah. You were like 2?
My mom and my dad when I was like 6 weeks old, and then my stepdad and my mom when I was 11.
You know, that has to affect you.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, abandonment issues, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Like
total.
Lots of therapy.
Yeah, and I didn't grow up in a house where I was allowed to do therapy. So I didn't grow up with a family who like necessarily believed in it. So my therapy was acting. And I was really, really grateful for it because I just got to be someone else.
And
but
you got
I
to get
could,
out of your own skin.
Yeah, but I could put my own issues into that person's life. And so essentially I was myself, but I just got to be someone else. And it really helped me.
You liked being your onstage persona.
I did.
More than how I felt.
Yeah, I really
felt
did.
In high school when I did a play, I'm like, it's better to be on stage than be me.
Yeah.
I feel more comfortable.
Yeah.
Even today.
Honestly, if I'm being dead honest, I don't think until I was probably 25 did I ever really get to know myself more than somebody that I was playing.
I'm getting to know myself now. I think probably in the last 10 years, 5 years, really, I'm doing. We'll get into that.
It took me a long time.
Your dad, did you ever talk to your biological father?
We were in contact up until about 10, between like 10 and 12, he sort of vanished.
Did he try to come back once you got really successful?
No, not in like that way. I think there was always just sort of like, are we going to be in each other's lives? Are we not going to be in each other's lives kind of thing? Quite honestly, my mom did such an amazing job of being both parents for me, and my big brother was like a dad to me. Yeah. And so like I never felt that I missed anything. I think now in my life I go, wow, there's definitely like there probably are some things that I miss not having a dad around, or some things that maybe I would have done differently if I kind of had guidance in that way.
Sure.
And I would never want that for my daughter at all. But I didn't feel that way when it was happening, you know?
And you probably became completely independent, like so independent that you probably were like, I don't need anybody.
Yeah.
I felt like that's probably, was that how your mom was? Like, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to deal with this. I'm good on my own.
Yeah. My mom was very much that way. And I think my mom and I definitely went through things of like codependency in our relationship because we didn't have anybody else to sort of turn to, you know, which I didn't also realize until later, which maybe were healthy at times and unhealthy at other times.
Did you feel like you needed her approval when you dated guys?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
Like you want them to like the person.
You do.
And now I want to date a girl that's the opposite of my mother. The opposite. If my mother hates her, this woman is the right one.
How's that going for you?
Not good now.
Okay.
But I've tried. Wow, did you see how she turned on me like that, Rob?
I did.
Look, I'm trying. I'm a fucking work in progress, and I'm like every morning I wake up and I'm like, I got to figure it out. I'm really working hard. But I'm telling you, sometimes I feel great. I feel like, you know, nothing can stop me. And then sometimes, you know, it's just boom, something happens.
That's life, though.
Your shoulder goes out of place in a bad sleep.
Because you just sleep.
You know, a girl that you've been dating writes horrible emails to you.
You're a hard sleeper.
I'm a hard sleeper.
Do people know that you got, are you having a broken heart since yesterday?
And we're moving on. Rob.
Okay.
No, there's not a broken heart. It's not a broken heart. Let's go.
Are you listening to Alanis Morissette's Jagged Little Pill and eating lots of chocolate?
No, what I'm listening to, here's Get Ready for a Touche. I'm listening to Bare Naked.
Oh, let's
what
not.
You make it. I like that song, by the way.
That's really nice.
That's your song that hit the charts in 2002.
I'm not sure. I know this is the thing about me. I know nothing about time. I couldn't tell you what year anything happened.
Really?
Is that crazy? Like, I honestly don't know.
I bet you that's
I'm like,
not
that
true.
Happened
what
whenever.
What year was your, it was Autumn born?
Well, 2013.
Okay, so you knew that. Yeah. Wait, is that five? Because she's five.
Yeah, she's going to be five.
Yeah. Okay, so your mom, you guys take off. The guy, the first guy's out of the picture.
Yeah.
By the time you're moving to LA, he's pretty much out of the picture. Your biological father's gone.
Yeah.
And you haven't talked to him since?
No, I mean, again, like through the years, sporadically, we've sort of talked, but not really.
Do you have any kind of like feeling for him, or is this kind of like, did it kind of like, is it hard to just?
I have gratitude for the fact that that we're a part of each other, and that he like, you know, brought me on the planet, but I don't know him. So I don't have,
like, and you need, don't
I don't
need
have
to
like a draw, like a drawing feeling to him now.
Right. Cause I always wonder like that if someone, you know, cause a lot of people that are listening, I'm sure have someone who left them at a young age and they're like, hey, do you still think about them? Do you still want to have a relationship? Or at such a young age when he left, you didn't know him. You grew up away from him. So he became sort of a stranger.
Yeah.
And then he was like a stranger who had your bloodline.
Right. It's more that feeling. Yeah.
Right.
It sounds sad.
No, it's not sad. It's sort of a reality.
Yeah.
Sometimes you have to go, hey, let's not make this more than it is.
Right.
And you do because I do because I'm a Jew and I always think I have a guilt and I'm like, oh my God, you know, I start thinking of all the things I need to do and it's my, you know, what if I reach out? I'm like, it's not your fault. You don't have to reach out when let someone else reach out.
Yeah.
Inside of You is brought to you by Netflix. Battle Creek, Michigan, 1963. Kellogg's and Post, sworn cereal rivals, race to create a pastry that will change the face of breakfast forever. A wildly imaginative tale of ambition, betrayal, and menacing milkmen, sweetened with artificial ingredients. Unfrosted stars Jerry Seinfeld in his directorial debut. It features a supporting cast of comedy,
greats, including Melissa McCarthy, Jim Gaffigan, Hugh Grant, Amy Schumer, Max Greenfield, Christian Slater, Sarah Cooper, Bill Burr, and many more. Friday, May 3rd, only on Netflix. Inside of You is brought to you by Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. This is an amazing platform. I use it on both podcasts. It has worked wonders for me. It's so amazing how easy it is to navigate. If you want to sell products, t-shirts, soap scents, whatever it is, Ryan, you want to sell, this is the way to do it. You could see what your best seller is right there, analytics, how much you're making this month, what products are selling the best. It's really fantastic. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify's there to help you grow.
Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered.
Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, up to 36% better compared to other leading commerce platforms, and sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star.
Plus, Shopify's extensive help resources are there to support your success every step of the way.
Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/inside, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/inside now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/inside.
You're a giver.
I am a giver.
You're one of the biggest givers I've ever known.
That's so nice. Thank
you.
Well,
it is. I just noticed that about you. It's just like you give and you give, and you a lot of times get hurt.
Yeah.
In the past of that, I've known you just, and I don't even know you that well, but I feel like I do.
Yeah.
That you just, you're one of those people that are like, I'm going to do everything for you, and then you don't even ask that much. And when they can't do the littlest thing, it just makes things go bad.
Yeah.
Fast.
Yeah.
Like, you can't even do this for me? Are you fucking kidding? I bought you a car! You can't pick me up in it, you fucking asshole! But I know, am I right?
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, that's me. To a T, that is me. But I will say that I think I've gotten to the place now where I have realized that part of that is my issue, because you can't give to people expecting to get back what you give, right? Like the true art of real giving is to give it out, whether it's emotionally or physically or mentally or spiritually, to give it out and then expect zero in return. That's like ultimate giving.
Rob, are you writing this down?
You know, and so I've tried to like get there, I think, in my life.
Think,
and it makes me happier
that's
that
beautiful.
Way.
And I think that's how I really try to live my life. I'm like, listen, I will give you, you could stay at my house, you know, I'll take you to, I don't want anything in return. Just be a friend.
Yeah,
love me unconditionally
decency.
And don't fuck me over.
Exactly. Exactly.
Don't be an asshole.
Yeah. Kindness. Wow. So love me some kindness. Decency.
Right.
Yeah. Just any of that stuff
give
is good.
Me love, 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 love. Crazy love. That's what I just had. Let's not get into that.
I
so
like
you moved to Waco or moved to LA after Waco.
Yep.
And you're like 11, 12.
Yeah, I arrived on my 10th birthday.
And what happens in LA? Where do you move? Where do you live?
Well, I lived at the Oakwood Apartments. Everyone lives there.
Tell them about the Oakwood Apartments.
Oakwood Apartments is great. So when I lived there, it was Elijah Wood, Neil Patrick Harris.
And how old are these guys?
I don't even remember. Johnny Galecki, who I love. Eric Estrada.
Oh, my God. And this is just like a little apartment, cheap apartment complex off like Barham or...
Yeah, it's on Barham.
On Barham. And it's like, it's not ugly. It's just like everybody stays and they move
just
here.
Just where they go. But for us, we were like in a real broken down Buick, like driving from Texas. And we left the Holiday Inn that's like right there in the 405 and Sunset. And it was the first, like one of the very first things we found was the Oakwood. We were like, okay, Barham, like we've heard of that. Fine. And there was an apartment building. So that's just where we went.
You said Barham.
Barham.
Oh, that's Barham.
Is it Barham?
What is it, Rob?
I don't know.
I always called it Barham.
Barham.
Barham?
Barham.
Barham and Garage?
I think it's Barham. I made a left on Barham.
Maybe that was my Texas. It's Barham.
I think it's you might be right.
I want it to be Barham.
Okay, so Barham.
It's my story.
So Barham, what was your apartment number?
Can you give that to me? You give me Barham?
I'll give you Barham.
Thank you so much. Giver. You know what? I appreciate that.
What apartment number? I want to know where you live.
T106.
T106, folks.
Building T.
Oakwood.
106.
I feel bad because now someone's going to go.
Somebody's going to go.
Oh, my God. Jennifer Love Hewitt lived here. They're like, fuck off.
They're going to be like, who? On Barham?
Yeah. You mean the one on Barham?
Yeah. So I was there and I met like all of these record companies trying to be a singer, but it was before like music contests where 10-year-olds could win things and Hanson and, you know, all those things. So they were like, yeah, you're just too young, sweet, cute, have a decent voice, but too young.
So you were rejected.
I was totally rejected.
Did you cry?
I did not.
Were you not emotional?
No, I was very confident as a kid. Cocky, I would even say. And I more took it like, what's wrong with them? Like, why don't they get what's happening here? I lost that later in life, but that's how I was as a kid. And so I was getting ready to leave and they sent me on an audition for Kids Incorporated.
How did this song go for Kids Incorporated?
Kids Incorporated. K-I-D-S.
Rob, did you watch that?
You're too young.
Jesus Christ.
You're a baby. He's Spencer's age. You're too young.
Spencer's your assistant.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, so I went on this audition with 5,000 other girls. And I was like, I don't even know what this is. I'm from Texas. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do here. And they're like, you're just going to go in and pretend to be like your favorite character from TV. So I was like, okay, I love Punky Brewster.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Full House. So I could go like Stephanie Tanner or I could go Punky. And I like, this was my big decision of the day. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I went in and I just was talking to Jodie Sweetin on Instagram like a few months ago.
Right.
And I told her, I was like, I owe you part of my career because I decided to say, how rude, like that is a thing. And they died laughing. They thought it was funny. I sang a song, got down to 40 girls, 20 girls, 10 girls, 5 girls, 2 girls. I did not get the job. Money was up. Time to go back to LA. We hawked my mom's engagement ring to come to LA for just like 1 month to give it a try.
How much was that ring worth?
I mean, not much.
Maybe 1,000?
Maybe, yeah. So we left. We were getting ready to leave. We were at Yum Yum Donuts on La Cienega Boulevard.
Dude, and I know Yum Yums. I make a right there to get on Crescent Heights off La Cienega to take it up to
And it's still there. Isn't
Yum
it still
Yum,
there?
Yeah, it's on what's the road?
Highland. Isn't
no,
it
there's
Highland?
A street called Yuckle? Yucky?
Yucca. So I had a pager and they paged me and said that the girl that they hired for Kids Incorporated could actually only sing one song. And did I want the job? And they gave it to me and I started making money and we went home and we got the apartment back and I've been here ever since.
Where's that girl now that only sang one song?
I have no idea.
Do you remember her name?
I don't, but.
But you got the part.
But God bless you. Yeah.
God bless you.
Yeah. And the first thing that I did with my paycheck, I got in trouble with my mom. I made $300 and I thought I was like being baller and I went and bought $300 worth of ramen noodles without asking my mom and used all of our money. For ramen
noodles. My God. That's amazing. So you got the part and you were on that show for like 4 years.
Yeah.
Was it good money?
I mean, it was, I don't even,
for
actually,
you.
I have
mean,
no idea.
In Oakwood apartments off Barham.
Yeah, for me, we were paying rent. I was living life. I was doing great. I was doing Barbie commercials.
Now that's
where on my off time.
That's where the big money came, right?
Oh, yeah. I was a Barbie girl for like 2 years. It was awesome.
By the way, let's go back to Oakwood.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you mess around with any of these guys there at a young age?
Did you kiss? No.
Jonathan Taylor Thomas, was he there?
I did not. He was there. That's so weird. Yeah.
I just said that.
No, but I taught Elijah Wood how to roller skate.
Did you really?
Mm-hmm. Just one day.
Was he a nice boy?
So sweet.
He was sweet.
Yeah.
Big,
and Johnny Galecki was the best.
Johnny Galecki is a nice guy.
Johnny Galecki, I have to say, was there for me during like when my mom and stepdad separated, like the day that happened. And I was just like a mess of a human being at 11 years old. He came and comforted me and sat with me in our apartment. And I'll just never forget it. He's like one of the greatest people I've ever met.
You grew up incredibly fast.
I did.
Like I had a childhood. I grew up in Indiana. I mean, I had some dysfunction, but you know, I went to high school and I graduated barely and I went to college in Kentucky and I studied theater and then I moved to New York and I had like a gradual sort of like I had no success, little more, little less, got a big show, then a little less. But you sort of like really didn't have a childhood. You were always working.
Always, yeah.
Do you think that had an effect on you for a while? Like, wow, I feel like I didn't have a chance to grow up really because I was.
Well, I definitely grew up, but in a just a kind of a crazy way. But yeah, I think that's kind of what the last really 4.5 years have been about for me, is just sort of for the first time taking that break and going, oh, wait a minute. I want to know who I am as a person. I want to actually enjoy what waking up in the morning feels like, not waking up and rushing off to a set feels like. I want to have conversations with people other than people that are hired to have conversations with me there. You know what I mean? I just wanted that stuff in my life.
We got here fast. We got to this point fast in the conversation, but I want to address that.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's sort of what happened to me in a little,
yeah,
in a way. I feel like this is something we could talk about because I know that, look, this is for me and for you, but you know, people are listening. I'm sure you could relate to whatever you do. It doesn't matter if you're an actor or you're working at a construction site or you're a teacher, whatever you're doing.
Right.
I feel like it's a lucky thing.
Oh, totally.
As much as it seems like, you know, I had so much confidence when I was younger and I was indestructible and I could do anything and I auditioned for this and I had so much, I didn't care. I had so much, whatever.
Yeah.
And then there comes a moment where for some reason you wake up and you go, what am I doing?
Yeah. It feels empty somehow.
And you can't really talk to people about it because they're like, what do you mean? What are you doing? You're doing this. You're living the dream. And it's like, yeah, I'm so lucky. It's not about living the dream. It's about, who am I living it for?
Right.
And who am I? And what am I doing? You know, and there comes a point where it's just like, you know, I was always on the go and you were always on the go and you were
always.
And so this is where I relate to you. This is really where I relate. You took 4.5, 5 years, whatever, call it whatever, because I remember the biggest thing that I remember is I felt so horrible when your mom passed in 2012.
Yeah.
And I think that was the most catastrophic thing that's ever happened to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
And I actually tear up a little thinking about it because I just remember how much it hit you and how she was your world.
Yeah.
And is that what sort of kind of made you sort of reevaluate, start to go, hey, not reevaluate, but a wake up call like, hey, let's think about who we are here.
For sure. For sure. Yeah. So my mom and I lived across the street from each other and we had breakfast 5 out of 7 days a week together, or dinner the same. And we were just in a good spot. We were going along. Everything was fine. And she was diagnosed with cancer. That all went very quickly. She had surgery 12 days later. And, you know, it was very emotional and all that stuff. And it was very strange, though, because when my mom got ready to have her surgery, I remember I got deathly ill with the flu, really, really bad. And so it was the first time my mom had this gigantic thing going on in her life. And I wasn't allowed to go and be around her because I couldn't get her sick before her surgery. And now when I think about it, I was like, wow, in some weird universal way, it was the first time my mom and I had to be separated during a big moment. And I had to survive that moment of her having that surgery and hoping that she was going to be okay and not knowing what it was without her near me. And she had to get through without me being there to hold her hand like I normally would have been. And somehow it was like it almost like at that point is when universally for us, things just, we had to learn to be without each other somehow. It's just a very weird feeling. So anyway, so she was fine, went into remission. We were getting ready to plan this big party. I went on a very, an amazing vacation with my husband, who I was just newly dating at the time. They danced at my birthday party. That was the only time they ever met. And my mom and I sat down in her living room. We had this conversation and she said to me, hey, that's the guy you marry. That's the guy you marry and you have kids with. And she was like, 'cause I can see it in your face. You don't want to miss him. You don't want to love him, but you miss him and you love him. And she was like, and you shouldn't run away from that one. 'Cause this is a good guy. They had met one time. And she knew.
Yeah.
And, 24 hours later, I was on a plane going to Monaco for this big TV festival that happens there. And I didn't want to go. I was like, she had one chemo left. I just didn't want to do it. Felt weird about it. But my mom was such a traveler. She loved to travel and she loved to go experience new places and do those things. And I was like, she can't travel right now. And so I should do this for her. I should go and I should do this. Got on the plane. We texted each other, all this stuff. I arrive 12 hours later, get my bags, and I get this message from a friend of ours who was the landscaper at our house, but also a good friend. And they just happened to be there. And they were like, your mom's in the hospital. She's not doing well. And you should probably come home. And I'm like,
what the fuck?
what are you talking about? Like, and I just, I remember like I couldn't breathe. And Mayim Bialik was sitting in front of me in the plane and she just kind of looked at me with like this look on her face. And I was like, I don't know what to do right now. Like something's wrong with my mom and I'm not sure what to do. And she was like, I'm, you know, sorry or whatever. And just kind of like looked at me. It was very comforting. And I was looking around at all these people and I'm like, everybody's going to live a normal day today, but I am fucking freaking out. And tried to get a flight. Before I got on the plane, I had to fly to London. I got on the phone with my husband and I was like, I know we haven't been dating that long, but I got to get on a plane. And I don't know my mom's going to be there when I get back because they've given her 20%, like it went from like zero to 100. And I was like, you just have to stay on the phone with me and get me on this plane because I don't know what I'm going to do. And he was like, okay. And so he did. And he like talked to me and we didn't talk about like specifics of anything. He just kept me company, you know, to like get on this plane. And I woke up in the middle of the flight and I said to my friend who was on the plane with me, I was like, my mom is dead. Like, I just feel it.
Oh my God.
She's not there anymore. And she was like, don't say that. She's going to be there when you get there and you're going to be okay. And it's all going to be fine. And I was like, you can say that, but I just don't feel that way. So my brother was at the hospital with her. You can cut me off anytime, by the way. So my brother was supposed to be at the hospital. And when we landed, I turned on my phone like you do. And my brother called and I could hear the airport in the background. And I was like, you would not be here if she was alive. Are you at the airport? Just answer the question. And he was like, I don't want to answer that question. And I was like, are you at the airport? And he was like, I just need you to get off the plane. So I fully collapsed on the plane and a couple people came and got me. They carried me through baggage. I like couldn't feel my legs underneath me and I had left like just 48 hours later. And my best friend and like the person who made me everything was like looking at me in the face. And we like walked out the door and then it was like, all of a sudden I got like superpowers in my feet. And I just ran as fast as I could to my brother and we hugged. And I don't remember much after that. Like, I think he explained to me kind of what happened. He explained to me sort of, you know, like the things that went wrong and what, and I honestly still don't know that I fully heard him or like grasped it. But after that, I just remember thinking, I don't know enough about myself. Like, I don't know enough about life. I don't know enough about myself. I don't know enough about real life to jump back into fake life right now because fake life means nothing to me at this moment. Like, it got me through everything in my life up until that point. It was my superhero, like my fake life, my acting life, my everything that I worked for. Yeah. And at that moment, it just meant zero to me. And I knew that there were going to be people who wouldn't understand or feel disappointed or wonder like, oh gosh, is she having like a mom dying breakdown or, you know, whatever it was that they were going to say, but it just didn't work for me. And I was under contract on the client list. So I had to go back to work only a few months later and I had to finish it. And I did, but it was different.
It was just different.
I had a massive breakdown the first scene that we did. Like I just started crying and like had to go lay in my trailer and I got sick.
Then you were like, did you fight up for everything? Like, I don't want to do it. I can't do this. I'm not right. I can't do it.
Yeah. And I did inside, but there was still a part of me that like owed everybody that. And so I did it and I worked on it and I finished it. And by the time I finished it, we had just found out that I was pregnant.
Wow.
Like that really was my sign that like, oh, life goes on. Like pain is going to be there, but great things are going to happen. And I am meant to be something else right now. Like I'm just meant to be something else, not forget everything, not give up, not whatever, but I just wanted to spend time on my life. And I had a lot of pain to work through. I'm still working through it. The joy of like my daughter came and that pregnancy was amazing. And whatever. And then after she was born, there was a whole new level of grief because I was like, she's never going to walk through the door and meet my kid.
Oh,
she's never
going
to, she doesn't know that I'm married. Like she doesn't, but unless she did she's know. Watching.
She told you this is the one.
Yeah.
And she knew you were going to listen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because back somehow you wanted her approval and mother knows
and I got
best.
It. Yeah. And I got it.
Right.
Yeah.
She knew.
Yeah. And I think she'd be proud and, but yeah, but it really just made me go, I need some real life. And it's honestly been the greatest time of my life. It really has been.
What have you learned in this 6 years of real life? Like, since, I mean, how, I mean, you've worked.
Yeah.
You're working here and there. You're doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing that, you know, it's not important. Like some people say, you know, because, you know, I did this show for 2 years. And then afterwards, you know, I did like a little movie and then I'm doing the podcast and everything. But even though no matter what you do, it's never enough. It's right. Like, what do you do now? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? And you start to listen like, oh, I should be doing this. And your agents are like, you've got to be doing this. And you be this. And I go, I don't have to do shit.
Yeah.
I just want to find what I'm looking for.
Yeah.
And you, I mean, I'm telling you, you hear stories all the time. One, the story about your mother, which I think is beautiful. I just think it's important to just really take notice of like how beautiful life is and how precious it is. And we do this all the time. Something tragic happens and we all go, oh, and we're like maybe grief stricken or something for a day. But then we, you know, we forget
right
about
back.
That. Yeah. But we forget about how like that. Yeah. It could be gone. And I hear about it all the time. I mean, one of my friends just had brain surgery. He texted me at 12:30 in the morning, one of my good friends, and said, hey, buddy, I just had brain surgery. I'm doing okay. But I'm fine. But if you want to, you know, and I went to the hospital immediately. And he's going to be
so
fine.
Crazy.
And it was crazy. I'm just like, I remember driving home, I kind of cried. And I go, I mean, this is a perfectly healthy guy, successful, all this. It doesn't matter how much money you have, how successful you are. We're all going to the fucking same place. And this guy, you're like, what?
Yeah.
Brain surgery? I'm the one who has fucking brain surgery. Look at me. And it just puts things in different perspective.
It does. And I really did, not to take anything away from an awesome career and like lovely people who watched things that I was in and allowed me to have other jobs and money made and adventures and like crazy, wonderful life and things that people, you know, but I honestly believed before somebody told me that my mom died, that was the end all be all. And that was truly what was most important.
Couldn't move on. You couldn't go. You felt like you couldn't go on. Do you remember that feeling? It's that numbness, right?
Oh, yeah.
Your body's numb. You can't even like the smallest
breathing
things.
Was like took all of my energy after she passed. And I remember like I had a little sprinkling of anxiety before that, but anxiety for me now has become like a part of my life really since my mom passed, and it like triggered something in me where I worry about all health things for everyone all the time. And then I became a mom, and mom stuff comes with anxiety. And I remember there was a long time where I was like, there's no way, because we're so intertwined. I was like, there's no way that I'm actually going to get to live after this. Like, I'm going to die too, right? Because my mom and I don't know how to be without each other.
And
so I was convinced for like 8 months. I was like, I just know that like I'm next. Like something.
You're thinking about those old couples that when one dies, the other dies. You feel like it felt like you and your mom.
Yeah. And that's why, that's so funny that you say that. That's how I felt about work too, is that like my mom and I almost felt like one of those like 1950s comedy duos. You know what I mean? That like traveled around to the meetings and were like, you do this and you do that and you tap and I'll sing and then we'll walk out with the job.
Martin. And,
yeah.
Right.
Like that's how it kind of felt. So to like just not have her on the planet anymore and then jump right back into something that was so my mom and I together felt so false and fake and weird and just like not something that I could do. But I've learned so much and I'm so happy and I have such an amazing, really an amazing life and met an amazing partner who like helped. I mean,
how did he do that?
I honestly don't know. It's just who he is. Like, and the beautiful thing about it was that there was never an expectation from him of, well, we started something, so we're going to have to, you know, continue now. I know your mom died. There was never any of that. Like he literally was just about getting me through every day in like such a genuine way. Even if it was just unpacking a box in my new apartment, we were going to unpack that box and we were going to do it together. If it was about getting food, if it was about sitting by the beach for the first time, like he knew he would see in me. There was like this great moment where he like saw that it was just kind of like welling up in my day. And he pulled over Malibu and he rolled down the window and he put on this this song and I think it was Max Richter. Do you know who that is?
I don't.
I think that's his name. I'll have to get back to you on that. But I think that's who it was. And he just like cranked it up and he just sat there in silence. And I was just looking at him like, why are you doing this to me? This is going to make me fall apart. And he just like reached over and he grabbed my hand and he was like, look at the beach. And I literally just was like,
oh my God,
like sobbing and sobbing and sobbing. And when we drove away, I remember thinking that's what love is. Like he just knew, he just knew what I needed. And he cared enough about me to do that and to not make anything about him for a really long time after that. Like he just gave of himself for me to heal. And it was it was really lovely. You want to date him, don't you?
Make me fucking bawl.
You kind of want to date him.
I mean, no, honestly, you almost had me in tears. I'm still like, what do I talk about? What do I talk about next? What's amazing about that whole story is the only thing I could think of is most people get into a relationship and they're like, oh, they haven't seen my dark side yet. They haven't seen me fall apart and the ugly cry, and they haven't seen me numb, and they haven't seen me this. And he saw that off the bat.
Yeah, we started with that.
So it only could get better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, right? In a sense, he's like,
and
hey.
And then I got pregnant.
Then you
had hormones, and then it's all ugly.
And then I
had postpartum, and then I got pregnant. We've had a lot of that, and he's been really lovely to see the pretty stuff in between all of that in our time together. Yeah.
It's really insane. It's sad how like something happens in your life and it seems like nothing. You can't wake up from this bad dream and somehow you make it. I mean, you hear stories all the time of like, you know, people dying and whole families dying in plane crashes and all these things. And you're like, you know what? You're going to get through whatever it is. It's not going to be easy, but you're going to get through it. People get through it.
Yeah.
It's so scary. Because, you know, everybody, you know, my grandmother, you know, she's 90. She'll be 90 in June. So we're all going to fly
her.
And she's like my best friend, her and Irv, as everyone knows. So anyway, she's like, I go, well, you know, how's your friend so-and-so? She's like, yeah. How's Audrey? How's Gugu? Yeah. Like none of her friends are doing good. And those are her names, by the way. Lorraine, Gugu. And I go, well, hey, look at the bright side. You're going to outlive everybody. And she goes, I don't want to. Aww. And I go, what? And I realized that's not what you want in a way. You don't want to see all your friends. And I mean, she survived. She saw her best friend, her mother, die. She saw, you know, her father. She saw her cousins and her everybody just like, and this is life and we're just a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
And you hear it all the time and it's hard to just sort of understand, but like time goes on. And
it
so you have to cherish whatever time we have.
Yeah.
And it's so cliche, but.
And you do have to balance the drive and the ambition and the want to leave your mark in some way on the world. I think especially as entertainers with knowing that the greatest mark you can leave is how you've loved your children or that special place you and your husband have had, you know, wine or the friend that you've been to someone that when you get that message, you drive right to the hospital. You know what I mean? Like that, those things to us, I think, especially in a society where everybody's like, I just want to hustle and I want to go and I want to hustle and I want to, you know, do all that. It doesn't give you much.
It doesn't give you much. It's called
it
purpose.
Doesn't. Yeah, and you have to have balance. You really do.
It makes me, you think about it, like those little things you do when you go help someone or give a helping hand or you're there. Those are when you feel most fulfilled, when you
truly
feel like you're helping someone or you're giving someone. And so that's sort of like, why can't I just make a living doing that?
I know.
How could I do that? You know? But I could do that every day. I could do something every day for someone.
Can.
You know, that's a good thing. Rob, do you feel like you do things for people every day?
I do. Not every day.
What do you do?
I don't.
You should have your own show.
Yeah, it would be 1 minute long.
Just like a little, just like a little web series of his facial expressions and his like 2 second thoughts.
Here's the top 10 episodes or top 10 responses from Rob. I do.
Rob, you're the best.
Yes, he is. This is fun. I knew you were a little stressed. You hadn't done a podcast. You've gotten personal.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. Do you feel pretty good so far? You feel like, hey, you know,
don't you
feel like this podcast might someone out there touch someone and help someone?
Oh my gosh, I hope so.
But you still deal with anxiety.
Yeah.
So do I. I deal with anxiety. I take
it's
a little
worst.
Something at night.
What do you take?
Well, I don't want to give it. You know, I had Kristen Bell on here.
You want me to read the thing?
And don't do that. But I had Kristen Bell on here, and she wouldn't tell me what she took on the podcast because she doesn't want other people saying, oh, Kristen Bell takes that. I've got to take that.
Right.
And I feel like if I tell somebody to take something and they die, I'd feel horrible.
Yeah.
But this is a very subtle, lowest dose. Rob, you laughed. Why is that funny?
I don't think they would die from
taking
anxiety well, don't say medication.
It. It's not anxiety. It's, well, it's a very the lowest dose of whatever you could take. It's like a very popular one, and I take it, and I didn't like it for the first 6 weeks, and now it's kind of given me you know, taking the edge off because I wasn't feeling well for a little while. And,
yeah.
You know, and now I'm getting better. I'm getting That's healthier. Good. I'm working out. I'm playing ice hockey. I'm getting in the mood. And I think
working out helps a lot with anxiety. I've started boxing.
Oh, I love boxing.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it.
Really? Can you spar?
Yeah.
Hit in the face?
No, not hit in the face right now.
What are the,
no.
Yeah?
No, it's more like body shots and stuff like that. But I really like it. And it's helping me a lot with my anxiety. It's anxiety is the worst.
Where does it come? It comes from out of nowhere, right? Sometimes
it comes out of nowhere.
So give me an example of the most out of nowhere. Holy shit. I'm going to pass out. I can't deal with this. Where were you? Give me a moment.
2:30 this morning because I was laying in bed and I had a dream about us having this conversation and me having to talk about my mom. And I was, I've never told the story of my mom. You're the first person that I've told that to publicly at all ever. And so I was laying there in my bed and I was like, oh my God, I'm sweating, but I'm not really sweating. And I was like, my arm feels numb. It's the left side. I'm for sure having a heart attack. And then I was like, no, it's the right side. It's both sides. God. Oh my God, it's both sides. And then I was just like sitting in my bed, like hitting my hands going, okay, God. What is wrong with you? You freak. And then I got up and I just paced at 2:30.
You made me cry a little bit.
I paced.
You made me tear up. You got anxiety about like.
No, I did. But it was like a big thing for me. And I didn't know why at the moment. Like I didn't know about having the jerk. Like I just, it was just anxiety.
Like you don't want to talk about that. Like you don't want to bring things up that make you feel bad.
But I'm so glad that I did. And I'm glad that it was with you. Because
and I didn't want to just throw it at you. It was one of those things that I just remembered. Like I knew you.
Yeah.
So I knew when it sort of this was going on. And I just always remember thinking about you. And I was like, I know how close they were. She always talked about him. And it made me so sad. It still makes me sad. I feel like, you know, I could easily cry right now. And I had no idea that you hadn't told the story before. And I assumed that people had asked you about it. You had talked to Us Weekly in Vogue or something big.
No. Nope.
You know, you weren't going to use my little show to tell your...
Just you. Safe place.
Well, you know what? It is safe.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you said that because I feel like I wanted you to feel safe. You didn't want to talk about it. And I told you, I go, look, if there's anything you don't want to talk about, just tell me.
Yeah.
So you could have said something.
Yeah.
Hashtag no filter. Sorry. I just never have.
Do you filter your pictures?
What does that mean?
Like on Instagram and stuff, when you take pictures of yourself, do you add like a filter?
Have you seen my pictures? Do you think I add a filter? I'm blemished. I have dark spots. I got a laser thing on my forehead because sometimes I get these like dark spots.
Oh, I have melasma since having my kids.
I don't know.
Dark
melasma?
Yeah, it's sort of like, it's like the girl version of sunspots.
Isn't that a country?
Nope.
Malaysia? Mm-hmm.
Is it? Malaysia.
Did a plane disappear in Malaysia? Aren't we just having so much fun? Oh, did you ever do karaoke?
Of
Dimples
course.
In the Valley? Oh, my
of
God. What
course.
Was your go-to karaoke song?
Oh, wow.
You ever sing your own songs?
I did a couple times
sing?
Just to be that person.
Naked?
Yeah, just to be that person.
Oh, God, yes. If I had my own song, like I have a little band, but I, you know, they're not hits or in fact, no one's ever heard them. But like if I had. Like,
I've heard them on Instagram.
Yeah,
I like them.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll sing with me.
Hey, that would be fun.
Would you do it?
Sure.
Oh my God, that'd be great. You like 70s, Southern,
90s?
Can we
90s do Islands kind of... in the Stream?
Yeah. I don't know if I could sing that. That's a hard song to sing, isn't it?
Okay.
How does it start out? We rely on each other.
Yeah, I love that
from
song.
A...
No, we're not doing that song.
No, we're not doing
what
that
song? You know what I was thinking about coming here this morning? I was thinking about you and a song popped in my head and I was like, oh my God, that song is so him. And what
Too
song
Shy
is
Shy
it?
By Kaja Gugu?
No.
Was it
absolutely not
Rio by
no,
Duran
it was
Duran.
From Mannequin. Do you know what song I'm talking
yes,
about?
The and big we song. Can live the street forever, standing.
Mm-hmm. I was like, that
nothing's
is so Rosenbaum
stop
to me.
Us now.
That's so you. That song.
And if this world ran out of lovers,
we'd still have each other. Yeah,
nothing's gonna stop us. No, that's a great song.
That was real low. You sing low.
It's Albert Hammond nothing's and Diane Warren.
That's what I'm talking about.
By the way, what's her name?
That's
was in
such
that?
A song you'd sing.
Wasn't Mannequin 2 or who was the, what was
Kim
her name?
Cattrall.
Yeah.
Cattrall or Cattrall?
Oh boy. Garach, Barham, Cattrall.
Barham, Melasma,
Where
Malaysia.
Are you from, Wisconsin? The fuck?
No, I'm from Texas. Don't you remember the beginning of the story?
We didn't even really talk about your success. We've just talked
about
like No, but like, you know, people want to hear stuff like Party of Five, then you became a film star with how I know what you did last summer.
Oh, people wanted to ask a lot of 90s questions. They wanted to know what it was like. I saw that last night on Instagram.
I wrote some down.
They asked about like 90s stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fun.
What's your favorite decade?
Oh, my Lord.
80s probably, right?
Yeah.
80s were just so free and fun and the music was all over. What do you think about music now? I hate to be a hater. There's some good stuff.
There's some good stuff. I like Shawn Mendes. Do you like Shawn Mendes?
Rob?
I don't know who that is.
Oh, okay, guys.
What does he sing?
I don't know the names of his songs right off the top of my head, but I like him. He's a good, he's like a good kind of singer-songwriter kid. He's
you know who
good.
I like now? Kenny Loggins.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to their concert. Mm-hmm. Michael McDonald, Christopher Cross.
I mean,
Yacht
you
Rock.
Love
If you want to come, why don't you and your husband come with me? I've got tickets. We're going to go see it's Kenny Loggins, Michael McDonald and Christopher Cross I'm sure. And he's going to sing. What's that one song he sings? Kenny Loggins, Dax and I always sing the song Name Dropper. I just name dropped.
Oh, hold on. You just dropped Dax on the floor. Let me pick that up for you. Okay.
This is it.
Oh,
make no mistake. Where you So yeah, I love the 80s and 90s. In fact, you were saying that you wanted to, you don't talk about your age. Is your age online?
Yeah, I'm going to be 40 in February.
Okay, I just wanted you to say that. I want to say that because I don't want you to give me the look like never tell a woman's age.
Oh my God, who cares?
But you said, hey, you know, because I throw parties. Yeah. I would maybe throw your 40th or something or help your husband do it.
God,
or
I think that
you
know,
I want you to pay for it.
No, of course.
I'm not going to pay for your party.
Okay.
But I will help you find the place.
Such
maybe
a giver.
Maybe get an 80s band.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, it's fun to have a little party and everybody dress up like for prom or whatever.
Yeah.
It takes you back. It feels good.
I never went to prom.
I never went to prom either.
You did it. That's something I want to do in my life. I want to, maybe I should have a 40s.
That's what
prom.
I did. I had a, Michael's never
fun?
Been to prom party.
Did you invite me to that? I don't think you
I
did.
I was never, I think I did.
I don't think you did.
I think I
you
did.
You invited me to something, but it wasn't a prom.
How did you take fame? Like, were you, how did you handle it? Like, when you got, I mean, you became a big TV star with Party of Five. By the way, Scott Wolf, amazing to work with. What a great guy, right?
He's the best. And he's like Dick Clark. He never ages. Like, have you seen that guy? It's insane.
Yeah,
he looks exactly the
still.
Same. It's
by the way, did you ever, like, ridiculous. I know this is a weird question, but did you ever, I mean, obviously you've hooked up with your co-stars. You have right? Yeah. You have. That's how you met your husband.
Yeah.
You getting anxiety right now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are you?
No.
I saw you touching your chest. I don't know.
Well, not a weird part of my chest, just like.
You met your husband on the client list?
Okay, yeah.
And you dated another guy before
Did
that?
I?
Huh?
Who?
From another show.
Okay.
Now, listen, a lot of times, especially nowadays, you probably shouldn't like date your co-stars, right? This was a different time period.
Yeah.
Because now it could be like, oh, that's a no-no.
Right, ma'am.
What are you attracted to in a man?
Oh, gosh. Humor.
Humor's number one, isn't it?
Number one.
Because you don't always date attractive guys in your past.
Well, I knew you were going to say that.
Well, John Mayer was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
He was a great looking guy.
Yeah.
By the way, I read somewhere, actually I didn't read somewhere, I'm lying, but my assistant said to ask you this.
Yeah.
She said-
If my body is a wonderland?
Yeah, for the record, was it written about you?
No.
And is your body a wonderland?
I mean, I don't know
it what- It wasn't written for you.
I don't believe that it was written for me, but- If other people want to say that it is, I'm fine with that because that's a real compliment. I love that song.
Is it hard? You still love that song. Can you still listen to his music even though you guys dated?
I think he's unbelievably talented and one of the coolest people I ever met.
I met him too. I met him at a party and he was the most wonderful, sweetest.
Great guy.
I think people like, you know, in the industry, it's one of those things. Oh, he's been with a lot of girls. Okay, big fucking deal. He's a good guy. Goes out with a lot of girls. Big deal.
People called me like a serial dater when I was doing nothing but just meeting people like you do in your 20s.
Yeah, fuck off.
I just had everything happen on a red carpet.
It's
so
tabloids.
It was like a
they
thing.
Want people want to talk silly. Gossip when their lives are born. They want to say, oh, he's a slut. He's the player. She's a whore. She's the serial. Not that they ever called you a whore.
Oh my God. Did they call me a whore?
No, I said they didn't ever call you a whore. You're not a whore. You were never that way. I just thought you were always.
No, it was not.
No one ever
Clarify
thought of you
that.
Like that. I'm not
Thank
clear.
You.
I'm just saying that people always thought you were someone who was in relationships. You wanted to be. You wanted to get in a relationship. You didn't want to date. Dating sucks.
Yeah,
you were never like
who
that.
Who wants to do that except you?
No, I hate dating. I've tried to be in love for the last 10 years, but I went from.
You can't try to be in love. You
was,
just
who was
will
too
be in
sad
love.
To someone who was too crazy to someone who I just wasn't quite in love with to someone who wasn't in love with me to someone who was mean. You got to keep finding. I'm not lucky like you. You finally found someone. Rob over here found Natalie.
Oh my God, it took
Natalie.
Me forever. It took me forever.
You were 32 when you met him.
Yeah.
That's not forever. I'm 45. Okay. That's forever. Forever?
God, you're 45?
Okay, fuck you.
How did you get so old?
I don't know, man.
That's crazy.
I am getting old, though.
Wait, you asked me how I handled fame, and then you never went back to it, and then we're talking about the 90s, but you went to the 80s.
Well, I have ADD. I'm like,
no, I don't actually know how I handled fame. I just did it. But I didn't have a choice.
But apparently you never felt sort of like you like a real person, really. You didn't really, right?
Yeah.
Were you kind of just being Jennifer Love Hewitt? Like, here
no,
I am.
I was genuine, and I definitely like experienced it, but I didn't have time to like really like be in it. You know what I mean? I just was working. So I mean, when I had my daughter at that point, I just started my 29th year in the business. This is the longest period of time I've ever had off. And before I had my daughter, I had been off 6 months total that entire time. Like,
okay.
That's crazy.
This makes perfect sense.
Right. So I had no time.
Here's what we're saying. I think maybe I figured something out. This is therapeutic.
I'm just really tired.
No, you did something.
Yeah.
I think everyone out there, if they're always working and they're always doing something and they're always keeping busy, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
When you take any time not doing those things, you start to deal with something called life. You start to deal with yourself.
Yep.
You're now being introduced to who you really are.
Yeah.
And then you start to think too much. And you start to – and so in a way, it's like you either – like I see a lot of these actors. Why are they always working? Oh, my God. I'd hate to work that much. Movie after movie after show after show. I don't want to – I honest to God don't want to be that one. I've never wanted to be that. My agent doesn't – I just don't want to be that person. But at the same time, if you don't work a lot – but now I understand why people always work. They always keep busy. So they don't have to deal with their thoughts.
Yeah, themselves. Yeah.
So maybe we're all fucked up. Maybe
that's 100%.
Maybe we're just all fucked up and it's hard to be with ourselves because maybe we don't really love ourselves as much as we should.
Of course.
So maybe we should be alone with ourselves more to learn how to be alone.
I highly recommend it.
I don't.
I like who I am. I don't love who I am yet, but I'm getting there.
That's how I feel.
Yeah.
I feel like I love.
This is a good girl over here. I like this chick.
I love you.
But I don't love her.
But see, that's shocking to me.
That's shocking to me that you feel that way.
No, it's not. I'm a clown. I'm a fucking guy who goes to parties. And I don't go to parties, but I don't go to clubs anymore.
Parties.
Well, I haven't been to clubs today, but I go to things and people are like, oh my God, how do you have so much energy? Oh my God, are you drunk? No, I'm uncomfortable with myself. So I need to feel like I need to make everybody
me
laugh.
Me too.
Entertaining everybody. I'm making everyone laugh. Even when I go to my grandparents and the family, it's like, oh, Michael's going to have games for everybody. We're going to go swim. We're going to go, not that you need, but we're going to go play cards. And I can't think of games that I would organize.
Why swimming?
I don't know.
We're going to go. Swimming is not a game.
Whatever. We're going to go do things. Let's go walk the mall.
So let me ask you this. What do you think would happen to you if you just invested in one person being your audience that way to like let you be funny and do whatever? And you just.
As in a girlfriend?
Yeah. And you just sat and like.
Love.
We're still.
Love.
And had some kids and just like.
Love, I'd leave everything.
You would?
I'd leave everything to meet somebody that I'm just absolutely head over heels.
Ladies, where the fuck are you?
I'm not even kidding. I swear to God, I would leave it all. I don't care about anything. I want to feel something like that because I felt love, but it's an amazing feeling.
Yeah.
So if I could really just be myself in front of someone, and I have had these moments, but then shit happens.
They're making me cry.
Don't cry. You are crying. But I swear to God, I mean, as
you
God is my
it.
Witness, I really want to be in love. I really want, nothing's more important to me than just loving someone.
You should go
loved.
On The Bachelor.
Oh my God, you're crying.
You should go on The Bachelor.
Give me your hand.
Can I nominate you for The Bachelor?
I'm not good looking enough. I really am not.
Oh my God.
No, I'm not.
No, that's
in fact,
not true.
My ex-girlfriend
and
won The Bachelor. She was the girl that won it, and I didn't even know she wanted it.
Wait, who?
Vanessa. The Vanessa girl.
Vanessa Grimaldi?
Yeah. She was a really good girl, but she didn't want to move to LA
her.
And she taught like kids
yes,
and stuff.
Yes, I love her. She's beautiful. Good for you.
Well, hang on. She never wanted to leave Montreal. God, your hands were really wet. You're really crying.
They're not really wet. Maybe I'm clammy.
No, your tears. No, your tears. You wiped your tears.
Tell people I have clammy hands.
No, I felt a tear.
Well, yeah, because it was
anyway,
right in my face.
She's a wonderful girl. We're friends.
She's amazing.
But she never wanted to, you know, move out to LA, so it didn't work. But then the next thing I know, my friend goes, I think Vanessa's in The Bachelor. I'm like, that's impossible. She never wants to move from Montreal.
Oh, boy.
And whatever. So she ended up being the Montreal. And remember, I should have went to Vegas and put odds on this because I told everybody day one, she'll win The Bachelor.
That's what I thought.
She's an amazing girl. She's beautiful. She's fun. She'll win it.
She was my pick.
But I was a little shocked, but you know, we weren't right for each other, so we were just friends anyway. Yeah. So it was, you know, but Look, here's the thing. The reality
is... So move to Montreal. Go get her.
No. She doesn't want to be with me now. Now she's famous and has millions of followers. She can get so many other good-looking guys, and I'm not even...
Okay, I want this for you. I am going to pray for you that you have an amazing person come into your life and that you get what you want, because you deserve it.
Well, thank you.
And I'm good. I have good angels that listen to me.
You do?
Yep. I do.
Do you have any good girlfriends?
No.
That listen to you?
No.
No. I'm ready. I just don't... I do. I feel like, you know, we're I'm getting old. You did it. You did it. Because I remember when you were like,
I did do it.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, she wants to be in love. She's a wonderful girl. She's successful. She's happy. And it's amazing how now you have all the things you love.
Yeah.
But you still don't love yourself.
No.
But how could you not love yourself for putting two beautiful kids into the world and being
a good
wife?
I love that part of myself.
Do you think you're a good wife?
I think I am learning to be a good wife. I think that's just something that you... I don't feel like I'm a great wife all the time.
What don't you love about yourself?
I just don't know enough about myself yet. Like, it's crazy. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Like, most people, I feel, or maybe they don't. Like, maybe I just think most people do. But I feel like most people spend 29 or 30 years, like, getting to know who they are. And I spent 29 or 30 years pretending to be other people and know a little bit about who I am. But was really told mostly who I was by people who wrote articles about me, or people would pick out things that they liked, or you know what I mean?
And
whatever it was. And so I go,
like,
oh, that must,
right about
that must be something about me then.
Oh,
I didn't even know that. You know what I mean?
Isn't
so I
fucked?
Had, yeah, it is. So I like grew up with this like whole other thing. And I feel like it's just now that I'm sort of starting to, I love that I made two amazing kids. I love that I found the guy that I did, who is extraordinary and cares enough about me to stick around. And I love that I took a break, and I love those things, but I just have a lot to figure out still about myself.
I love that I chose the basement to do these recordings so we could hear the giant boiler.
Is that what's happening?
Do you hear that? It's like Freddy Krueger. Fred Krueger's down here.
Does that happen at night and
Tina.
Scare you? Oh, don't. That's so scary. I hate scary movies.
Well,
don't do that.
You were in I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I will leave. That's scary.
Do you not like horror movies?
No.
See?
Don't.
That's not good. I love horror movies. Did you like doing those?
Yes.
I Know What You Did Last Summer made $125 million.
Is that redonkulous? It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
I know.
Did you ever think you'd be? Yeah, you did. You knew you'd be a movie star. You thought you were gonna be a movie star, a TV star,
I didn't think that I would be a star, but I did know that I would work because it gave it my all. That I did know.
Do you love work? Do you miss it? Do you miss working all the time?
I don't.
You really don't.
I don't. And I'm getting ready to go back to work. And I'm excited about that. But
yeah, what's the show?
But I don't miss it. I'm going to do 911.
Yeah.
Murphy Show on Fox.
Yep.
And I'm really excited about it. But I'm also terrified because I don't know how to be a mom and work. And I never thought that I would say that. No, I don't. And
do
I'm honestly
nervous?
Terrified.
I'm like, can I remember my lines again?
Yeah,
it's a muscle because I fear that too. Like, you know, you can do this.
I can.
The first day, let's say you're going to stumble a little bit. You're going to be so. And then a couple days in.
But here's what I feel really good about, which I never thought I would, is that I feel like I have something like deep and real to give now that actually has a lot of weight behind it, because it comes from a real place that I didn't have before.
I know, right.
And I'm excited to give that. I'm excited to see where that goes and what I can kind of tap
next
into.
Next chapter shit.
Yeah.
This is the next chapter. This is dark shit. You lost your mother. You had kids. You got married. You're going through all this anxiety and all these things. And that will ultimately, if you could look at it that way, which is the way to look at it, it will make you a stronger person.
Yeah.
And it will make you a better actress.
Yeah, I hope so. And I'm going to go to work and be a real person first and a fake person second, which is great. And I feel really happy about that.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm psyched.
And you don't use anything but like natural CBD for your anxiety. You don't take any pills.
I don't.
No sleeping pills, no nothing, no medications.
No, I sleep amazing.
Do you drink?
I do drink, yeah.
How much do you drink?
Not tons, but I do like it.
A bottle a night? Half a bottle?
There have been times.
Pint.
No, not a lot, but I do like it. I love wine. I'm making a wine. That's something
What's
else
it called?
Gonna do. I don't know yet. You should help me name it.
Okay. Hewitt's good.
I'm going to call it Inside of You.
That's terrible. It's the worst title ever. I regret my title.
What if I called it Rosenbaum Wine?
Baum? Maybe Baum. I can get some percentage off that. It's the Baum.
Baum.
It's Baum. Here's the deal. My name's actually Michael Rosenbaum. Boom. And my dad one day goes, I go, yeah, Rosenbaum. The address is, it's Rosenbaum, 1533 Lamp. And he goes, what's your name? And I go, Rosenbaum? And he goes, are you a fucking idiot? It's Baum. I go, yeah, but I can't go, what's your name? Michael Rosenbaum. I can't. Rosenbaum's just flows off the tongue. Could you imagine?
Like Baum.
All right, say Michael Rosenbaum.
Michael Rosenbaum.
No. Say it with a straight face.
Michael Rosenbaum.
Yeah, it's awful. Rob, try it.
That is ridiculous.
Rob, try it.
Michael Rosenbaum.
It sounds awful.
It does. It's terrible.
It's terrible.
It is. You're right. I'm sorry too, Dad.
Arnold Schwarzenegger. God, I could talk to you for hours. You make me feel better about myself.
Oh my gosh, you too.
Honestly, I don't know. I feel like I've missed out having a relationship with you.
I know, right?
I mean, like a platonic relationship. I think I want to be
so we should
better
do that.
Friends.
Me too.
Talk to me about putting rhinestones on your vagina.
Oh, vajazzling.
Vajazzling. I never heard of that. And then, but you say you started that.
I did.
And what you went,
well, I didn't start.
I've never seen that.
Procedure. It's really pretty.
It's not on your vagina.
It's on the upper part.
And it's rhinestones.
Yes. Like Swarovski crystals.
So you kind of see them when you're having sex.
Yes. Yeah. So I, or across a room or whatever, I was engaged. It was a terrible breakup, really sad. This lovely woman showed up at my house that was sent by a friend to do a spray tan, and to like get me out of my funk. And she was like, we're going to glitter up the hoo-hoo. Like, we're just going to make it a thing. And I
wait,
was
wait,
like,
wait.
What are you talking
You're
about?
You're going to glitter up the hoo-hoo.
Yeah. And she was like, we're just going to do it and it's going to be fantastic. And so she did this thing and I was like, oh my God, it's like bedazzling for your vagina. So it's like vajazzling. And we started this word and then I wrote about it in my book and it became this thing. And now people feel free all the time to talk to me about their hoo-hoo situations.
So people wear these like rhinestones on their yep. upper area.
Uh-huh.
What is that upper area called? The labia majora or minora? Is it a Jewish thing during Hanukkah?
It's called the barham.
Whatever. It's called the barham.
The barham section.
Here's what I was most impressed about your career.
Oh.
Not the only thing, but
okay.
I know what you did last summer. I did a movie called Urban Legend.
Yes.
We were kind of a ripoff. Yeah. Not a ripoff. I loved Urban Legend.
Isn't that one of the very, very first times we met, like back in the day at a pool party?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You remember.
Yeah. Wasn't there like a Pamela Anderson or like a float of big boobs or something like that in the pool? I don't remember that. Yeah, it was random.
Oh my God.
I just remember you and like big boob floats. Okay, go ahead.
You remember me and big boob floats?
Yeah.
You were the backup singer for Martika's number
Toy Soldier.
One singer. That's one of my, Rob, do you know that song?
Nope.
Bit by bit, heart to heart.
I also sang background vocals for Earth, Wind, and Fire.
What song?
I don't remember. And Sheena Easton.
What's Sheena Easton's song?
I don't
How do
remember.
You not know? Look it up. Rob.
I was like 10 or 11 years old. I don't even know that I get a credit on it, but I did that like
but
randomly.
We all fall down mm-hmm. like toy soldiers.
God, that song was so good.
You sang with Nancy Sinatra.
Yep.
You've really had, I've said this before to some people, and I'm like, haven't you done enough anyway?
Well, that was the thing about the break, because I kind of felt like, it's not like.
There's a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I've missed out on any. I mean, I've really done everything that I wanted to do. But the exciting thing about going back now is that having had the break, given myself a little bit of time to be a person, I now suddenly feel like, oh, you know what? There is some more to do. And so that's an exciting feeling to go back to work like that.
Did your agents drop you or like?
No.
They're just like, when you're ready.
Yeah, no, they were very patient and they just sort of, you know, waited. I've since gone to a new agency just to kind of like redo the energy and kind of reinvent things, so to speak. But yeah, no, they were okay. I don't think people in my team really understood any of what I was doing.
No, they don't.
But they were kind about it.
I think that's sort of like, you know, I said, hey, I need a little bit of time for myself. And then 3 days later, hey, we got this Netflix thing coming at you tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, did you not hear what I said? I want some time.
Yeah.
You know, and then you start to hear everybody starting to tell you what you should be doing and living.
Oh, yeah.
And then you start to believe it for a second. You're like, hey, man, I love doing this podcast. I love writing. I love acting. But it's just got to be the right thing, you know? I'm very picky these days, and I'd rather not work than just work on something that I'm not happy about.
Yeah.
I don't want to go to work every day going, hey, I'm on a show that no one gives a shit about.
Yeah.
I just, I got to give a shit about it. Yeah. I got to give a shit
you
about
it. You should just
things.
Create it.
That's what I'm doing. Great. Sound like Seinfeld. Rob, did you find
you
that out
like
about
it.
Who she sang with?
No, it's not anywhere.
It's not anywhere. You never got any money from it.
I don't think so. It was just like a studio thing that I did because I was recording my record at a place. And they were like, hey, you can hit a high note, sing this on this person. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. By the way, you dated Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
Was that a good time in your life?
It was.
Did you have fun?
He really did me a solid in like such a beautiful way in that I was very overwhelmed. I was very tired. I had come out of a bad relationship. It's right around the time that I got vajazzled. And right. And he taught me, I hadn't laughed in a long time. I was just like in a dark place and he taught me to laugh again. Like he really, I toured with him like on his comedy tour. I'd never done something like that. And I sold his merchandise after every show and had the best time. It was like the first time I'd had sort of a normal job. And
people were like,
who are you and what are you doing? Yeah. Oh, we sold tons of stuff.
Well, they knew you.
Yeah.
You were.
Yeah. But they were like, why are you here? And it was just the best. And I just sat in like comedy clubs and watched people overcome their own. Comedians are incredible because they are these deep people who oftentimes have their own sort of crazy stuff going on and they overcome it for the need to get rid of it for 10 minutes and feel the laughter and the joy from the crowd. But it's really such a selfless thing that they're doing. Like to be able to step outside yourself and go, you know what? I'm going to put all that away and I'm just going to make you laugh tonight. Like I'm going to take away your bad day and your drama and yours. And I met some amazing comedians and it was beautiful. It was a really beautiful time in my life. And I'll always thank him for that. Yeah. He was cool. Cool guy.
You guys don't talk anymore.
No, we haven't talked in a really long time.
That was it.
And yeah.
I think sometimes you meet people along the way and they help you grow, whether they're bad for you or they're good for you. It's amazing.
We were not meant to be in a relationship, but we had a great friendship and he just brought me back to laughing again and it was beautiful.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
It comes to a time in the podcast where I just ask you, I pretend I'm your therapist for a second and you pretend you're mine.
Oh, wow. Okay.
All I'm saying is that, you know, from listening to you and knowing you, I see what a beautiful person you are.
Thank you.
I think everybody around you sees that.
Thank you.
I think there's so much love for you that it's crazy to me to not, and look, I get it, to not see the love you have for yourself as much. And I think you're getting there, like you said, and it's a work in progress. But I think one day something will happen where you'll be like, oh my God, why didn't I love me for all these years? Because I'm really fucking awesome.
I hope so.
I think that you should like, look, again, we're all here for one life. So we got to just love.
Yeah.
I mean, it's your fucking middle name for God's sakes. Use it.
It's true.
Just love yourself.
Thank you.
You know, that's what I'd say. You got to learn to love yourself more. I mean, I know I'm pot calling the kettle black here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Rob loves himself. Rob, do you love yourself?
Look at him. He really loves himself.
Don't snicker. Do you love yourself? Just answer it.
No.
You don't?
No.
Why not?
You're going to make me cry again.
I know.
Why don't you love yourself?
Why not?
I mean, the same reasons you guys are saying too. I mean, everyone feels that way.
You really think that's true?
Yeah.
I think that's true. I think everybody on some level just doesn't love themselves.
Why can't everybody just say that? That'd make me feel so much better if everybody
told
me that.
Wouldn't that be great?
No, it wouldn't. I don't want people not to love themselves.
But they just don't.
All right, how would you be your therapist?
How would I be your therapist?
Yeah.
I honestly don't. I think you're pretty extraordinary in that you don't really need a lot of therapy. I think you kind of are pretty open and seem to know who you are. But I am going to say this, that I hope for you that with as much love and time as you give people sitting here in your podcast and to your writing and to developing things and all of that, I hope that you will find somebody, maybe not perfect, maybe not with everything that you've ever wanted, not with all the right parts, but somebody that you're willing to stick with. And I hope that you will get love and I hope that you will receive love and give love. And I hope that you have kids because I think your kids would be really cool.
If I can carry
And them. I would love to have all of, I just love to see all of that for you. That would make me
really
so happy. Yes.
Well, I'm going to call you one day.
I want you to have that.
I'm
going
to call
better.
You one day and I'm going to say,
you better.
Say love.
You better.
I found love. And you're going to go, guess what? I did too. Myself. We're
Can you
both
imagine?
Be in love.
And then we should just like have a party for ourselves and how great we are.
I'm going to name my kid Love Rosenbaum.
Oh, Baum. Baum.
What do you think?
Chicka
love,
Baum.
Love Rosenbaum.
Love Rosenbaum. Yeah. That's really good.
This has been a real treat for me. This has been like,
I feel good.
I did too. I didn't know. I was like, you know, I just didn't know what this was going to be. I knew you were nervous. I was like, what is she going to, maybe she's going to say, don't talk about this.
We need to be better friends.
You know,
can we shake on that? Even though I'm clammy.
You're not, actually, your hands are dry and perfect.
They're very warm.
I swear
warm,
to God.
They're kind of warm.
No, you had a tear on them before.
I know, but they're a little warm.
So I want you to know I'm here for you. By the way, just so people can know where to find you, what's your Instagram?
I think it's just at Jennifer Love Hewitt.
And you're going to be on 911.
911 on Fox.
On Fox. When does that start?
I think it starts like September 17th-ish. It's on Monday nights.
All right.
Yeah. I'm going to be a 911 operator.
Really?
What's your emergency?
That's what you have to do?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I take the calls.
I would have the words in front of me if I was doing that. I would just read them off. You probably can.
Oh, I'm planning on it.
Seriously. If you're like, sitting there on a phone or a headset, don't learn your lines. An earwig.
I'm going to tell Ryan Murphy.
Have you ever had an earwig?
No, I have not. Didn't Marlon Brando use an earwig?
No, but also, what's his name? I think uses one from Iron Man.
Who?
Supposedly he's flawless with it. Robert Downey Jr. He wears an earwig.
But he does?
Yeah, let me explain to you what happens in an earwig. So Rob is going to say words to me like he's whispering from another room, my lines. Mm-hmm. And you're going to have a conversation with me. So Rob, you're going to answer her. She's going to ask me something. You're going to then give me my lines, make them up. Here we go.
Okay, so is it Barham or Barham?
Rob, you gotta be faster than that. The earwig would not fucking work.
That was terrible.
Rob, get in the mic. Here we go again. Here we go again. And take.
Where should I go to lunch today? Because I'm really hungry.
Don't go to Morton's.
Don't go to Morton's.
God, that's terrible.
Try it again. More words, Rob. Act like you're talking. Go ahead, J-Love. Come on. He's crying again. Come on, let's do it.
I can't. I don't care enough about it to do it again.
I want you to do it. Just ask me something. I just want to give you an example.
Okay, when was the last time you went to the Container Store?
Rob, fuck. Forget it. But the point is, you can make it sound natural. You can make
can
it
you?
Like, yeah.
Can you?
Watch. He's a bad actor. Rob, talk to me. You be my voice. Ready? Here we go. Go ahead, Rob.
So what happened this weekend?
This weekend I went to a party.
What happened with your lady friend?
I broke up with her.
She's terrible.
This is a good conversation.
You both are terrible. Jennifer Love
Hewitt. It's really hard.
It's not hard when the person's not laughing. Thank you.
No, really, where should I eat?
This has been a real... Where should you eat?
Yeah, I'm hungry.
I have food in the house. Want to make some food?
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Thank you for allowing me to be inside of you, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Thank
this has been a real treat. I love you.
Thank you. Love you too.
Okay. God damn it.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.